Hey, this is Ron Jacobs, and welcome back to Endpoint TV. Today I'm going to show you a couple things from my blog. So today I got really inspired. I actually did two posts. One of them is about how do you develop web services on IIS with Windows Server App Fabric. Now, a lot of people use App Fabric kind of only in the production or maybe testing environment. But when they do their development work, they work with the ASP.NET development server, which is fine. You can do that. But you might find it useful to work with App Fabric in your development environment. In that case, you'd be working directly with IIS and App Fabric. So I'm going to show you how you can set up your system to do that in this episode. And this corresponds to this blog post as well. So the first thing is, of course, you have to set up your machine to run IIS and all the appropriate pieces. Now, there's an article here that's on the IISnet site about using Visual Studio 2008 with IIS 7. And even though it's 2008, it totally works the same with Visual Studio 2010. So I encourage you to look at that article. It gives you all the instructions about how you set up IIS on Windows 7 and what the pieces are that you have to install. There's an IIS 6 compatibility thing. So the other thing you have to do, of course, is you have to run Visual Studio as administrator. So right-click on it, run as administrator. Or you can use my favorite Windows 7 trick, which is hold down Control and Shift, and then click on the icon. That will run it as administrator, which is very cool. All right, so I've already done that. I've got IIS started up here. I've got Visual Studio started up here. So if I go in here to File, New, now instead of doing a project, I'm going to do a website, which is a little different, but this allows me to create it right inside of IIS. So I'm just going to create a website here. It's under Localhost Website. If you click Browse, you can go in and see what's in your IIS and all that. So that's cool. We're going to create this. And what this is doing is actually creating the application in IIS under my default website. And so I've got my little website here. And I'm just going to add a new item. And you'll notice that the number of templates and things you get is a little different than the typical thing with a project. So I'm just going to create a service. Service.svc here, and let's add this to our website. And this is also a little different. You notice that it created this app code folder where it keeps the contract and the implementation. And then here on the side, I have the service.svc file. All right, now that's fine, and this will totally work. So let's build it, and if we just go over here to IIS Manager and we refresh this here, we will see, yes, there's our site right there, right? So now, before we do that, before we drill further into that, let's go ahead and run something out of our site. So if I come in here to Content View, just click on Service and Browse, that's going to load up the WSDL for our service. And so there you have it right there. There's our service. It's totally working and running. All right. Now, let's invoke it. We're going to use the WCF test client, so let me just launch that. And I'm going to say add a service, paste in the address for it. Now it's going, getting the WSDL. There's our service. Do work. It doesn't take any parameters or return anything. I'm just going to invoke it. So there it is. It invoked our service. Okay. Pretty easy, pretty simple, and clean. All right. Now, let's go look at some of the things that App Fabric has done for us here. So if we go back to the features view, we see App Fabric has a dashboard, endpoints, and services. So let's start by looking at the services. Here's my service. If I click here, it just shows me some things about my service, that it has health monitoring enabled and the various things going on there. That's cool, and I can see that it's had 3 calls. Okay, now you say, 3 calls? I thought we just called it once. Well, actually, we did call it 3 times. So first time we browsed to the service to see that kind of service page. The second time was when we added the reference in the WCF test client, so we accessed the WSDL. And the third time was when we actually called the service. So that's what's been happening with it. And so I can view the tracked events, and we can see the events that happened with our service. So we can see the host started, then they had some aggregate operations. These are a bunch of things that were put together. Anyway, that's kind of the basic there. Now let's go back to look at endpoints. So you can see that our service has an endpoint. It's over basic HTTP binding. It has no security enabled. So, you know, it's kind of all default stuff here. Now, it's telling me that system endpoints have been filtered out because in .NET 4, we had some system endpoints for you. So if I remove the filter, we see that we do have service metadata enabled on our service. And so the metadata HTTP GET binding is there. There's also a named pipe binding, and you say, well, what is that about? Well, that's because we have a workflow control endpoint on this service. Now, this service doesn't actually have any workflows, but anyway, we've added that endpoint there as well. So calls to these other endpoints get tracked by AppFabric as well. Now, let's go back to our let's look at the dashboard. Okay, and so if I look here, I see I've got my one service. There it is. It has three calls. So that's that. That's pretty cool, and that's AppFabric. Just a quick little getting started with it and some of the things you can do, just kind of see it. There's a lot more here, a lot more to look at and things to think about. So we're going to do more of that in future episodes. One other thing I want to show you before we leave this. Now, we've been working with AppFabric and all these events and things. You would say, well, where did those all go? Well, they go into the monitoring store of AppFabric. Now, I set this up with the web platform installer. So if we look at the databases here, we see there's two databases that were created by the web platform installer, the AppFabric Monitoring DB and Persistence DB. Now, those two databases are holding data, and if I'm working in my development environment, you know how it is. You start up, you stop, you get exceptions, things blow up, you know. So stuff is going to build up in these databases, and it'll show up in dashboards and things that you might want to clear those out. So what I have done here is I have a little PowerShell script here. This is also on my blog, and it shows you, you know, basically how you can wipe these databases clean and start over, which is really very useful. So you have to import the application server module, and then this one here actually removes the persistence database. The name of the database is over here. Now there's no tool to clear the database, there's only remove and recreate it. So that's what we're doing here, is we're removing it, and then we initialize the persistence database again. And we have to set up the security groups and all that kind of stuff. And here's the name of the persistence database and the server it's on. Then there is a command to clear the monitoring database. So here it is. I've got clear AS monitoring SQL database, the name of the database, and the server. All right, so that's that. Now, what I've done is I save it in a little script called appfabricdbreset.ps1. And then if I come over here, I just created a little database, or rather a little batch file that calls that. And all it does is PowerShell in the script. And so what it did is just went through and wiped the databases clean. Now you can tell that if I come back to the dashboard and I refresh it, then we'll see a lot of zeros, right? So that's kind of necessary if you're going to be working with AppFabric in a development environment or even a test environment. You know, maybe you want to wipe the slate clean before you run a set of tests. So hope that helps you. For Endpoint TV, I'm your host, Ron Jacobs.